her hand to the nail and her right hand to the workman's hammer, and with the hammer she smote Sisera. She smote off his head when she had pierced and stricken through his temples. Exodus 15:6, Thy right hand, O Lord, is become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, dashed in pieces the enemy. Judges 20:16, Among all this people there were 700 chosen men left-handed. Everyone could sling stones at an hair breadth and not miss. Daniel 5:5-6, In the same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. Then the king's countenance was changed, and his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his loins were loosed, and his knees smote one against another. Timothy 1:6, Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the Lord.
I know.
Imagine, as if I'd ever been in genuine danger from those poor old ghouls.
I know.
Yes, I think we all let our imaginations get the better of us.
Well, some of us did.
Don't look at me. I may have allowed myself to get carried away by your delusions, but I maintained my composure throughout.
Of a few choice moments I could remind you of. How was your composure as you left from the guest house window?
Perfectly intact, thank you.
Is that so?
Well, either way, this looks like it'll make for an interesting conference. And all your adventures will provide some nice anecdotes before my big speech, eh, Hen?
So long as you leave out any references to, well, you know.
Naturally, my friend, naturally. None of us judge you on that account, but I'd hardly proclaim it to the world. Actually, I'd love a wee hit before I go on, if it's all the same to you.
I don't suppose I'll get a look in at all, in the acknowledgement.
Oh, don't be silly. You were as involved as anyone.
Yes. If you hadn't contacted us with those coded messages, a stroke of genius, I might add, we would all of us be none the wiser.
Quite so.
So, what happened to that couple in the inn? Peter and June, was it? They were certainly strange, whatever you say.
Well, turns out they were simply as confused as us all along. Those awful spores in the food and the beer. Ergot, was it? Well, you're the botanist. Well, it had them seeing things too.
Of course, yes.
Common issue with a rye-heavy diet. Well, that and the bloating.
End up looking like a drowned man.
Well, could be an improvement.
Honestly.
No, but it's a relief, I can tell you. I'd barely slept for a year. More.
Well, now, I might have a little something in my bag for that.
Oh, really, let's not encourage that sort of...
Oh, do loosen up, Perry.
He's joking. We're all joking.
Well, not that there's any harm in trying new things.
Well, I...
True.
I've never...
You might like it. You never know.
Well...
Oh, go on.
When in Rome, I suppose.
Hey! That's the spirit.
Blew the cobwebs away. Or at least make old Robbie's speech fly past.
Hey! I resemble that remark.
Oh, there's the bell. I hate to be late for the prologue. Come along!
I'm coming.
Me too. Good luck, darling.
Thanks.
I'll just be a moment. Save my seat.
Fine. Now, where are our tickets? Oh, we'd better not be in the gods. I won't see a thing. Luckily, I always bring my own opera glasses. Do you have a bottle, Doctor? The drinks are always extortionate in this place. Utterly ridiculous. They're worse than the National Theatre.
Well, I could always try my hand at the old wedding at Cana routine.
Maybe next time. I've got us covered for the time being. Single malt, all right?
Good man.
Excellent. Now, which way was it? Just like a bloody maze in here, and not an usher in sight. Typical. Ah, you there. Boy.
Lead on.
You with a hat. Get out of the way.
Well, Robert, just wanted a moment to congratulate you. It's such a pleasure to finally meet in the flesh, after all these years of letters.
Isn't it just? You're... well, you're not as short as I imagine.
Oh. Well, good?
Absolutely. Now, listen, Peregrine. Sorry, but I'm about to go on. I just need a bit of, head space. Clear the old noggin.
Oh, of course, yes. Well, break a leg. And see you on the other side, as they say.
Yes, indeed. Indeed.
I'll just have to do some of that more.
Good luck.
Oh, Robert, did you have my ticket, or... Robert? Oh. Must be about here somewhere. Well, I'll just follow the others.
As usual.
Where on earth are they?
Looking for us, old fellow.
Hello?
Down here.
Sydney? Ned?
There you are. We were beginning to think you'd forgotten about us.
No, of course not, no.
See, I told you. How could anyone on Earth forget the ineffable Hypnos?
This is McCutcheon we're talking about.
I...
Hello, friend.
I knew you were here. Yes, I was just coming to find you. I hadn't forgotten.
Oh, we know, we know.
When was it last?
Well, it must have been... Must have been Norfolk. Warham Hall.
Oh, that old stack. Oh, ghastly place. Haven't been back there since. I'm somewhere much cosier now.
Works for me.
Listen, the show's about to start.
Yes, we'll sat along here. Don't fret. We've got your ticket. Follow on.
Mm-hmm.
I did try to contact you, you know.
He did.
Oh?
Harder the other way around, it turns out. Do you like my new hat? It's different, isn't it?
It gets narrower here. Mind your head.
Are you sure we're... We seem to be heading quite a way down. I think the others were in the gallery.
Oh, no, our seats are much better. We're in the pit.
Best view in the house.
The pit? But you're not in the orchestra, are you?
Don't be silly, Perry. We haven't an instrument between us. Unless you've held on to that old whistle of yours.
No. Are you absolutely certain this is the right way? I can barely see.
Oh, yes.
The pit, you said.
That's right. It's warmer down here, too. No need for blankets. Or that silly cassock of yours.
What?
Now, don't pretend you're deaf. All those bird calls, remember them? The robins.
Oh, get off.
Don't struggle, Perry. There's really no need. You're amongst friends. Even Polly's down here. And little Samuel.
I told you we'd forgotten. Now, let's get that collar off and get down there. Got to stick to the dress code. There's a good boy.
Too late now, old friend. Just like it is for us. Best just to accept it. Easier. You've run away once. Well, this time, you're here for the entire show.
I'm sorry. I did forget.
After all, you're the hero. Isn't that right? It's your story. Your red letter day.
Now, when I count to three, you're going to close your eyes. One. Two.
Please, I'm sorry.
Oh, we are too. We are too. Now, let's play a game. Your favourite.
Stop it. Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
The Apocalypse Players present A Residence at the Bay, a Call of Cthulhu 7th edition scenario written by Dana McAleer in the style of M.R. James, with Joseph Chance as Dr. Henry Carrigmuir, Dan Wheeler as Reverend Peregrine McCutcheon, Dominic Allen as Lady Helen Marjorie Barmier Potts, and Dana McAleer as the Keeper of Arcane Law. Part 9. Hold Fast.
As your eyes grow accustomed to the dark, it's your sense of smell that adjusts first, and you smell this stale odour of like spilt beer and the wood and oily smell of old ropes and sail. This sort of musty scent of damp, something like an old cave or something, and you think you might actually smell salt, ocean salt, but as you glance about, taking it in, there's another smell underneath it all that sort of starts to take over. It's like that dull sort of a wall that hits you in a butcher's shop.
Oof.
And then through that comes this salt and fat of like cured meats wafting, and then underneath there's a sharper, rusty note, fresher than the others. It's copper. And blood. As those shapes of the hanging meat around you threaten to become clearer, you avert your eyes from them, because it smells like it smells like a charnel yard. You know what you're here to find.
I'm looking for the hand.
Well, do me a spot hidden.
Thanks. That is a regular success. Regular success on my spot hidden.
You look past there. You're trying, I guess maybe you're trying your hardest not to look at anything in too much detail, because you get a very strong feeling that there may be things down here which would be unpleasant to look at in too much detail.
Yep.
You do, behind the stairs, see a sort of... It's almost like one of those... You know the little trays, what are they called, that used to carry candles on, little candle holders with the little finger clamp?
Oh, yeah.
But it's almost like a very pale white hand impaled on perhaps a spike in the middle or somehow held. And you see through the nails, there seem to be these implanted wicks, and it's out. But it looks like a hand just sat on top of a barrel on one of those little candle holders.
Okay. Right, well, I go straight for it. And
great.
I would like to do a... I mean, I've got an idea of what I might do to it, but I would like to do a theology role to see if I can work out whether there's an obvious way to like purge this or consecrate it, basically, because it sounds like it's been created.
Oh, so you want to take it out of action?
Yes, exactly.
All right, yeah.
I mean, I realise that technically I probably could try and take it and use it, but...
Listen, you don't have to go full Boromir. Perhaps we should use the ring against them. you know, we
yeah,
all know
take
that.
Take it out of action. So I want to say, so it's been created in a unholy way.
Or a cult ritual,
It's in a cult ritual, so I'd like to see if there's a way I can consecrate it. So I'm thinking off the top of my head that what I might want to do is... bless some liquid, like a bit of that, an ale in a bottle, create holy water, cut all the fingers off with my knife and bless it or something.
We've come a long way from you being so squeamish about the idea of exorcisms at the start of...
I know, right?
...a Christmas inheritance to going full Catholic. but I guess you use what you can, right?
Kiss it and think of Jesus.
So basically, I'd like to do a theology role to see if there's... anything that will definitely work, basically. If I fail on that, I'm just going to do my best.
Anything that will definitely work?
Using theology.
You're going to make holy water. It's got to definitely work.
Will you listen to me? I'm playing the truth of my character, so you can fuck right off.
Love it.
They are the rules. They are the rules.
If you're playing the truth of your character, you'd just be like, how would I bullshit this? Oh, yeah.
You haven't read my character sheet. He's a true believer these days.
Yeah.
I would like to roll theology to find out whether there's a good way to do this. And I've rolled an extreme success on my theology.
Yes, come on, Reverend.
So this is going to require a little bit of bullshit ad lib on my part. But I think maybe you remember something from, not from the Bible necessarily, but from like your early seminary days where... Actually, what would happen is, a seminary is probably the wrong word even, but we're all going full in on the Catholic thing now, right? Because that's the stuff with the smoke and the mirrors and the incense, and it's what gets shit done. So you think back to your time. They get shit done. Burnings, everything. So you...
Forgiveness. They do forgiveness.
Yeah. You think about what you would all chat about late at night. All the young priests, and it would always be the odder parts of the Bible, the apocryphal stuff, the stuff about witches. You know, what would you do if you had to exorcise, or if you had to, you know, like all those sort of things that none of you really believed in, maybe, but you'd tease each other with late at night. And you remember someone saying, "Well, you know, like how would you defame a holy relic? Like, what would be the way that a pagan might turn a relic against God?" And you said, "Well, to do the opposite of what made it holy in the first place." So you start thinking, right, how do I reverse what's been done to this thing? So instead of pissing on it, you shove it up your ass. No.
Wow, this is taking a real turn.
You basically...
The moment you jumped out of that window, Doc, you changed the game.
It's all gone.
Bravo.
It's all gone.
Bravo.
No, you...
little trees everywhere.
you basically think, like... You think back to, A, like, loads of thoughts flit through your mind really fast. The Garden of Gethsemane, people sleeping, Jesus being betrayed by their sleep, the torch, and you start to think, well, the only thing you can do, in all honesty, is... use the tools God has given you. And what tools has God given you? You have your knife. You have your Bible.
Yeah.
You feel like... So you start to... Well, I'm not going to tell you what you do. But my suggestion would be, you start to tear out pages of the Bible and wrap them around the fingers, around the palm. You start to saw at the fingers with your knife. You want to utterly... It's not that you're trying to desecrate this thing, but you're trying to pull it apart, pull apart whatever hex it has, wrap it in faith and dissemble it.
Yeah.
As they did with, you know, sinners back in the day.
So I think maybe I don't pull the pages out of the Bible because that feels like...
That was a bit extreme. Yeah.
What I do is I take the Bible out and I place the hand on the Bible.
Yeah.
Like, you know, swearing on a Bible. And as I do that... I place my hand on top of it and I take the knife and I start cutting the fingers off. And as I cut the fingers off the hand, I'm speaking a prayer.
Cutting your fingers off.
Cutting my fingers off, cutting the fingers off. I'm speaking up some Old Testament verse about cleansing or something, which could be added at a later date.
Exodus 15:6. Your right hand, O Lord, is majestic in power. Your right hand, O Lord, shatters the enemy. Judges 20:16. Out of all these people, 700 choice men.
And I'm cutting the fingers off, and
I think at that point. Well, I hate to break the tension, but it's probably fair to cut back to the others. I was going to say, the others, as you sort of rest breathlessly just in the doorway, you hear, just outside the front door, you hear Peter's voice saying, June! June! Oh, fuck! Oh, shit, what have they done? Jesus Christ! June! Where are you, you bastards? Where are you? And it... You hear him sort of his feet shuffling away across the thing, and then you hear a very thin voice, which sounds like June's just saying, "Get Billy, get Billy." And he says, "Yes, get Billy," and you hear him pad away.
So he's not coming in,
Doctor. Doctor, I've got a horrible feeling. That what if they're just two innocent old people whose son died in awful circumstances at the hands of some evil puppeteers, and they found
I grab her by the thick bit of tweed that is around her neck, and I pull her up and I say, "Don't think like that.
That's not tweed.
Don't."
Sorry.
I grab her by something that I think is acceptable. And I say, "Don't think like that. You got to think like a soldier now. We stay quiet, and we help the Reverend. You understand me?"
She's still alive out there.
And you can see... He must be. You can see his eyes are unable to focus on yours. They're like black orbs. And he's still high, basically. And he swings around with the cudgel. And he basically drops you and starts to stealthily move back towards the kitchen. And stops and goes...
Yeah.
Find your fucking ammunition. And then he goes, and then he carries on.
Amazing. So you start stealthing through the sitting room towards the kitchen, towards the back door. Peregrine, you're still down in the... Lady Marjorie, do you attempt to get up? How are you feeling? You've lost some... Well, you've lost a hit point. You've lost some sanity. What's your instinct saying? Dr. Carrigmuir said, find your fucking ammunition.
I think I need to find the gun. I've also
God knows where you're going to look for that.
This horrible feeling that Billy is that 9-year-old boy. I really want to have a gun when he turns up again. So...
Is Billy... Billy's the name of the...
I think Billy Crow is upstairs.
Good, good.
I think we're...
I'll shoot him as...
We're in a resurrection tale, aren't we? I don't know, but... That's what it feels like to me.
I still don't understand what these puppeteers are up to. They sound very shady.
Combination, isn't it? It's like the puppets can bring him back.
I don't know. I think they might be a red herring.
Well...
Mm. Well, then what about the dig and the sort of abnormal growths and limbs?
None of it's a red herring. I think it all bleeds in. Well, that's what Karamir thinks. But he's fucked, so...
I think the puppeteers... Oh, well, who knows? But I think the puppeteers are... That is a little I think that's a Dan and McAleer nod towards us. I think that's what they are.
We shall have to wait and see. Or maybe not wait.
Well, where am I right now? What room am I in?
You're sat in the front, just inside the front door. No, it may help your decision when you hear footsteps pounding through the house. And Carrigmuir, you see Peter rush blindly in through the back door and go straight into their rooms.
Oof.
Yeah. So this man is preternaturally fast. He can get all the way around the house in the time that
he's like a charging bull. To be fair to him, you've only just heard him sort of say, I'll get Billy. You go through into the sitting room, you go towards the kitchen, you see him charging through the back door. I was going stealthily.
If he's gone out the back
door... He hasn't seen you.
I think I duck back behind probably the sitting room, the lintel, the door jamb. And I'm ready, but he doesn't come through and I sort of...
Let him pass. It works. He doesn't see you, but you hear the door open into the corridor. Jarmir, you see this shadowy figure rushing towards you through the corridor.
Hang on, I'm going to try and get up the stairs.
And if I can hear him running effectively alongside me through the corridor, I work that out, and I will sprint back, making as much noise as I merrily can, and swing my cane at his face as soon as I come through the door. Movement rate 8.
You basically have the same move rate. So you approach the open door back into the corridor where Jarmir is sitting, just as this huge figure dashes up the stairs. It looks like he's going for Jarmir, and he just turns on an angle. If you're swinging, you can do me a dex roll to see if you catch him. But basically, as you appear in the doorway, he sort of appears in the doorway and just disappears in the other direction, up the stairs, running at full pelt.
I think I'll try a dex roll.
Yeah.
Yes, hard.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Not excellent, but under half. 26.
Great. Roll for damage.
Penalty die in the dark.
No, I don't think so. I mean, you know how high he is. You're a military man.
That's true. We're both served time.
I keep thinking about...
4 in total. Oh, that's
right.
Bit out of a possible 10. That's a bit disappointing.
Yeah. As he turns to go up the stairs, you catch him on the back of the neck and you hear this thwack. You feel this thud of proper contact with flesh and you hear a huge body sort of go down on the stairs. And this... from, winding. Oh, Jarmir, you hear this too. You see Carrigmuir step out and thwack with the cane.
And he's landed face down on the stairs.
Yeah.
I turn around on the stairs and I kick him in the face.
You've scrabbled halfway up the stairs when you hear behind you this thwack and you hear this and this thing and you turn around, see Carrigmuir at the bottom, sort of heavy breathing with his walking stick in his hand, and you see Peter's form sort of winded on the stairs, and you kick him in the head. Could you do me a fighting brawl?
Don't fuck this up.
This is the bit where the entirely M.R. James scenario ends with all of you kicking a man to death on a staircase.
I miss entirely and kick the banister by mistake.
There is that one about Punch and Judy, though, which you have invoked with your puppetry.
Oh.
And there's some beatings. There are some beatings in there.
And a crocodile.
That's the way to do it!
You hear? No.
Oh, God.
You kick him in the head, and you hear this fleshy thud. It's like you've kicked a melon. But you still see his body sort of heaving, trying to get up. He's trying to get up. You can see his shoulders going up, and you just hear... Billy, what have they done to you? What have they done to you? Come down, Billy. And
stay up there, Billy.
You suddenly hear again. You suddenly hear the scratching again above you, more intensified.
So was that his action?
Yeah, basically, he's not trying to fight back.
He's invoking his son.
Yeah.
No, that's bad.
Meanwhile, while this is happening, Perry, in the basement, have you managed to dismember these fingers? I mean, it takes a while with a small fruit knife. I say from experience.
Fruit knife. I've managed to take all the fingers off and I finished blessing this, or, I hate to admit it, but exercising
this hand, and I feel, and when I finish, I think I feel like I see right before me the hand suddenly change, and it changes from this white waxen appearance. Suddenly, it's shriveled, and it's an old, rotten hand of a corpse. It's all dried, and I can tell by the way that appearance changes that the spell has been broken, I think.
Yeah, absolutely, you can. Yeah,
good. That's a relief.
Cutting back again briefly, Jarmia, that wasn't quite Peter's turn. Peter's turn was to shout Billy, but as he did it, he swung towards you just with almost his last strength, the oil lantern he was holding, trying to like hit you. And you can do me a dodge roll if you like.
Yes. I'm not a very dodgy kind of person, to be honest.
He also has his shotgun, but it's fallen beside him. Like, I wasn't lying about his shotgun when I said he came around the house with it. It's not near his hand. It sort of slid down the stairs more towards Dr. Carrigmuir.
5, 6, 7, 8. I've failed by 8 points, so I might spend the luck.
Well, I mean, I've just rolled posthumously, and... He did manage to throw correctly. So it depends whether or not you think dodging out of the way of an oil lantern is a good idea or not.
I'm going to spend the luck.
Yeah, good idea.
Probably wise.
Good idea.
So you dodge at the last minute. It was aimed squarely for your head, and this oil lantern basically sails past you, crashes into the lintel of the door on the first floor with all, you know, the floor you're staying on. And sort of explodes slightly. And you get this, like, licking of flames coming up the beams of the house.
Here we go.
This is the shit.
Here we fucking
go. Oh, I hope all the baddies aren't all scarecrows.
made of straw.
Made of straw. And sackcloth. See you, losers.
Spoiler, they're not.
I hope one of the PCs isn't trapped in the basement.
That would be bad. Spoiler,
he is.
So, the flames start licking up the walls, and it's set quite ablaze on that first landing. Dr. Carrigmuir, you've seen this. You've seen Jarmia kick Peter Crowe in the head and then have an oil lamp flung at her.
And then I matrix out the way of it. Also,
she does Trinity, like the hawk, and then kicks him in the head. No, you also see his shotgun slide down the stairs towards you and sort of rest, almost at your boot.
That's unfortunate.
You're also aware that Perry is still in the basement, and the last thing you heard was Peter Crowe calling, "Billy! Billy, what have they done to you? Come here, Billy, come down!"
The state of Peter Crowe... He's been struck, but he's not down, is he?
He's still sort of heaving.
I think
you're giving him a good blow across the back of the head.
I'm gonna swing to incapacity, but not in a maneuver sense. I'm just gonna have another shot.
For the head.
With my heavy walking stick.
Yeah. Go for it.
Oh, it's a 30. That's just enough. 3 under. So that's D6. So I that's almost a golfer's swing. I take proper stock. One foot or two steps above. The other foot back. And I don't say 4, but there's a wee thought in my mind that I'm just striking a ball sweetly. And I swing the cudgel, and I do... Oh, it's another 3, and... 5 damage.
You hit the back of his head, like a croquet mallet hitting a melon. And it doesn't quite pop the back, but he immediately... Oh. The body stops.
Pop the back?
Like, groaning. It's almost like he was midway through a press-up, and as you hit his head, you hear this fleshy sound, and he stays mid-press-up for a moment, sort of shivering, and then sort of, like, belly flops onto the stairs and slides down the tad. You get the impression there's still life in him, but also that, you know, from your experience in the Sudan, this is not a man who's getting up to be a menace in the future. I guess then it would be a question of whether or not you feel mercy is in the killing or the leaving. But that's a choice I'll leave to you for the moment. Jarmia at the top of the stairs as you witness this. Do you think that's a sanity roll? Maybe it isn't. I mean, you've already squashed someone.
I don't think she's very inured to this kind of violence.
It's got a bit fucking Evil Dead. To say the least.
Well, now I've got a problem, because what I've done is I've rolled a 99 on a hit. That's a fumble. So I have to take the maximum.
Right.
Perhaps there's a quality whereby the colour of the flames is catching Karagmir's hair as it sort of swings up, sweaty, and the black orbs of his opium-soaked eyes gaze at you.
He looks like Mel Gibson.
Like a demon. He looks like a demon.
Blank-eyed. Yeah, yeah.
I'm not sure about the Mel Gibson reference, but okay, yeah.
I mean, you're nowhere near as much of a cunt as he is.
Let's leave that out of it. So,
well, I'm 1 point away from madness.
1 point away from madness, oh shit.
Yeah. I'm probably giggling slightly on the stairs.
Giggling slightly. The only thing that might stop your giggling is you hear a huge tearing sound.
I run down the stairs.
Okay.
Dr. Henry, there's someone upstairs. I think it's this Billy boy. I think he's a bad one.
You'll need the gun.
Give me the gun.
And as you get the gun, I'm just sort of backing off, getting ready.
Are you backing towards the front door?
Yeah.
Away from the foot of the stairs, basically?
Yeah.
Can you do me a listen?
Listen.
Both of us?
Mainly Dr. Carrigmuir, although if you got an extreme one, I'd take that. So you may as well roll.
Nah.
I'm going to spend the luck.
Okie dokie.
Which is but one to make a success. 34.
As you back towards the front door, you hear what you think might be a gale blowing up. This sort of around the house.
Do you hear that? Do you hear that?
It sounds like, you know, the difference in when you're warming up at drama school? The difference between when you're doing the fricative exercises and the voiced exercises? There's a slight voiced quality to this wind, which sounds slightly more like sort of gasps and cries caught in the air. And when you turn to the front door, you see a very distinctive silhouette in the sort of figure of a Christ shape, literally just in front of the pane.
Oh, Christ alive. So I've turned around and I see that, but she hasn't necessarily.
No, Jarmy is still looking at the blazing fire, which is lighting the upper floors.
Keep your eyes on those stairs, I say, and I go back to back with her.
I'm aiming ready for whatever's about to turn and come down the stairs.
And I'm waiting ready to see if this thing comes in.
You hear another crashing upstairs, and you hear this sort of... it's almost like a death rattle, but more aggressive. It's like something learning to use vocal cords. While that's happening, Perry, down in the basement, how are you doing, sir? There's still a lot of stuff down there you haven't looked at, but you're starting to hear... I think you've at least heard thuds and sort of action upstairs, and you're probably aware that something will be going on.
Yeah, having dealt with the hand, there are two things I'd like to be looking for, if they are down here. I would like to be looking for the ammunition that's been taken out of the guns.
Yeah,
I'd like to be looking for anything which looks like bolt cutters or anything that can cut through metal. Because I'm still thinking about the promise I made to Reverend Blackwell. So,
of course would you are, yeah.
I mean, do you want another spot hidden roll for that, or?
I think, well, I mean, It depends how much time you want to take. I think, depending on the time you want to take looking for these things, it's like either an extreme, a hard, or a regular.
Okay.
Like, as in, if you want to take a couple of minutes while all this action's happening, or 10 seconds, you know, it's like, it's maybe 10 foot by 10 foot. It's not a huge space, but it's very cluttered.
Oh, I'd definitely spend a couple of minutes, because I feel like, you know, I've dealt with that.
They have it in hand.
So I'll at least spend a couple of minutes. Let's see what happens with my spot hidden, Rob.
Yeah.
And you can tell me whether that's any good. Oh, that's a hard success. Hard success on my spot hidden.
Hard success. So, what was the first thing you were after?
To see whether there's ammunition. But I'm sort of, what I'm doing is I'm just basically going through the whole room. And
so you want to just basically do a full sweep of the room and just see if there's anything that catches your interest.
Basically, but like looking specifically for the sort of, I'm not going to like be like going through barrels and big crates.
No, no,
I'm
no.
looking for something that's obviously like bolt cutters or
yeah.
Or the ammunition, which I
love it.
A feeling that both those things would be easily accessible rather than like.
So as you, as you hear this banging upstairs, you sort of clear your mind and you start to just focus one inch by inch around in a sort of circumference of the room. The first thing you notice is that, like, at the back, behind where the Hand of Glory was, on one of the barrels, there's a pile of dark sort of cloth. It has some sort of shining things on top of it that look like ammunition clips. Or you know, a sort of a pile of bullets.
Grab them and pocket them.
Grab them, pocket them. Do you look at the cloth? It looks like just a bundle of clothes. Like, I mean, there's loads of stuff in the place. There's ropes and like Hessian sacks and stuff. But
Does it look like the easiest way to get all the bullets together would be to wrap them up in the clothes? Or
yeah, it does. It does. Yeah. It's almost as if it's been bundled and then unwrapped. So you just bundle it together.
Yeah, roll it up.
Stick it into your shirt pocket. It's a bit bigger than that, but you...
Under my arm or whatever, yeah.
As you go round, you sort of have to move the, like, salted meats that are hanging out of your way without a sort of a really detailed look at them. You'd assume they were pork, perhaps.
Fine.
What else was it you were looking for?
Robert Patty.
So. Like, if there are any bolt cutters?
Yeah, there's not bolt cutters, but there's meat cleavers. There's a couple of what you might call bone saws. But, you know, this is a place of work after all. The last thing you see with your hard success, though, is behind a stack of the barrels towards the back. What looks like a wooden hatch in the wall. And then we'll move upstairs again. So, for the other two, the top floor now seems to be very thoroughly ablaze. Dr. Carrigmuir, to your back, you can still hear this sort of gasping, whispering wind, see the silhouette through the front pane of the door. You're also both still aware that the twitching body of Peter is there. The twitching body of June is probably still outside, but more to the point, you seem to now be clear of danger besides, well, whoever Billy is. You sort of know who Billy is, but I'm assuming...
Mm.
There's crashing noises above you. There's fire above you, but you know that Perry's in the basement. That's all I'll say.
Mm.
We have to leave.
So you can ready yourself about what's coming down.
We have to leave. We have to leave now. What do you think?
I don't know. I think so. But what about Robert? Where's Robert?
I don't think that's Robert upstairs. Not anymore. I think they used Robert. I think they used him. I think we should leave.
Oh my God.
I think I grab you by the arm and I head towards the kitchen. It's a reckless move. I think that's what I'm going to do. Because I'm thinking maybe there isn't one of these things by the back door. Maybe.
Well, You grab Jarmia, and as you go through the sitting room towards the kitchen, you see the lights still on, the oven still burning. The fish is starting to smell a bit burnt now, but that's on you guys rather than the chef. You see a very similar thing, although it's slightly fainter. You see another sort of Vitruvian man figure or Christ-like figure outside the back door through the glasses of the window. And you also see to your right the trap door open and a glow from down in the cellar where Peregrine clearly is.
Pep!
And you hear another crash from above you.
Pep, I think it's time to leave. I mean, I'm going to try and get... If so long as Lady Marjorie isn't resisting, I'm going to try and get her to the trap door. Well, not to the trap door, but to the kitchen, but with a view onto the back door and a view onto the...
Yeah, yeah.
So I've got both exits covered. Well...
Can I hear this yelling? Presumably I can.
I think now you can, because Carignan is basically above you, almost at the entrance to the trapdoor.
Okay, so this hatch in the wall...
Yeah.
Is it? Does it look like it's... I could just open it, or is it, like, locked, or...
There's no handle on it. There's a couple of barrels in the way, but there's no lock on it, there's no handle.
Guys, do I look in the hatch, or do I just...
It looks very much like a... Three or four barrels have been put in front of it deliberately to hide it.
We've got two of these things, one at the front door, one at the back door. I don't think there's any way we can get past them without greater knowledge. And we don't know what that is.
Okay, so I put... Yeah, good point. So without knowing that, I just yell up, 1 minute! And I pull the barrels out from in front of this hatch and try and wrench it open if I can.
And I yell down in reply, "That's all we've got. There's one of those scarecrows out the front and one at the back. If you have any ideas..."
I yell back up. "I have the ammunition."
Where's your rifle?
As that happens, as he shouts, "I have the ammunition," you can still see the silhouette of the back door. You can't quite see the front door anymore, but you hear something falling down the stairs that you fell down just a short while ago. You hear what sounds like a huge fleshy body tripping over something, and you hear this sort of this intake of breath, this almost death rattle sound from inside the house this time.
"Where's your gun, Lady Marjorie? Where's your gun?"
"I've got the..."
"I don't mean that shotgun, I mean, where's your rifle?"
"I don't know, do I? I would have left it in my room, but they've interfered."
I literally smashed something in anger. Pure frustration. I use the cane, right? I smash whatever is...
You smashed the back window.
I wouldn't have thought it would be a window. I mean, like, a plate.
you smash the front of the oven or the kettle off the...
Yeah.
You know, this metallic sort of clunking... Hot water spills all over the floor. It doesn't scald you, luckily. Peregrine, I think by this point you've managed to shift a barrel or two, but they're really heavy. You feel like they must be full of, like, salted fish or, like, ale or whatever. And can you do me a strength roll?
Yeah. I failed my strength roll.
You basically try and pick up the last barrel and you're just incapable. You've shifted a couple of them by just rolling them, you know, like sort of teasing them across, but you can't get close enough to the hatch to...
I guess I'll leave it then.
Dr. Carrigmuir, you start to hear shuffling behind you through the living room and this sort of death rattle noise.
Lady Marjorie's watching that, right? She's got eyes on.
She is. So as you, Lady Marjorie, and Carignan are above the trapdoor, you've heard this thing falling down the stairs, and you suddenly see this glow emanate in towards the sitting room. And an arm, a flaming hand, appears through the glass of the door. But it's also followed by a flaming arm and a flaming shoulder and a flaming head. And this thing staggers in behind you into the sitting room. This thing with still a very crumpled face. It seems like things are attached to it. The metal around its neck is glowing slightly. And there seems to be, as you look at it in silhouette, because although it's on fire, it's still in silhouette. I don't know, the movements of its arms, two of them seem to come towards you, while the other one flails. And you think it has two legs. But anyway, it's coming towards you across the room towards the kitchen. And you hear again, closer this time, the rasping sort of death rattle noise.
Well, and we both see this.
Yeah.
It's got three arms.
Sanity?
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, shit.
I've failed.
Oh, dear.
I have passed, but not by a lot.
Excellent. So, if you passed, I think this is so extreme you still lose a sanction.
Yeah. Okay.
Because this is like... It's linked to the fossils, it's linked to the earth, it's linked to all sorts, but it's not something you've seen before. Jarmia, I think you lose two.
So I've gone indefinitely insane.
Excellent. Let's have a little quick think about what that means. Well, what would you suggest as a character if you witnessed this?
Well, I'm clutching a shotgun.
Yes.
So I think I probably...
You've also been obsessed with the fact that this thing upstairs is Robert.
Yeah.
For quite some time. But what do you do to something when you love it and it's in pain? Maybe you want to put it out of its misery, or maybe that's not the instinct, maybe it's something else. But either way, this thing is tumbling towards you, sort of cartwheeling, fiery, many-limbed.
Yes, that's a point. Knowing what I saw before, I throw the shotgun to one side and I rush to embrace it and pull the sackcloth hood off so that I can see Robert one more time.
Oh, God.
And kiss him.
That is awesome.
As he dashes forward, do any of you... Well, Perry, you don't have a chance, but Carrie Mill, do you maybe see this and try to stop it, or does it just happen in front of you?
If it's... I mean...
Robert! I'm here, my love!
You throw the shotgun down, and that's the moment where I realise, oh no, you're not doing what I thought you did. But you were behind me, and I was watching the scarecrow, as I'm calling it, to the back door side of things. So I think I'm slightly behind you, and although I'm faster because I'm dexterity 65, I will try and lunge for you to stop you going towards it.
So Marjorie lunges for this figure, saying, Robert! Do you want to do...
I lunge for Marjorie, saying, Jamia!
Is it maybe a move? Or a dex?
Dex?
Yeah.
Sort of old-fashioned opposed, is this? I don't know. I mean, whoever rolls best.
Harry, you can see sort of a tiny snapshot of this occurring above you in the sort of framed entrance to the trapdoor, and you're sort of taken aback at how insane.
Oh, you've got up. You've seen some of this.
Your companions seem to have gone.
I'm not sure. I've given up on the hatch, but I've made my way back to the stairs.
You gave up on the hatch because your strength was
too low.
Your strength put out. So I assume you went back to the stairway.
I'm on a 28. I'm 65. So
right. So you see. Is it fair to say, Marjorie, you lunge for him and you feel the arms of Carrigmuir around your waist, pulling you back? Is that what opposed strength?
What? Yeah. What did you get?
A
regular
success. I got a hard success.
Oh, then yeah.
Yeah, that's what I thought. So you sort of lunge forward and you're reaching for his face, this burning face that's sort of half off. And in that moment, you see that the Hessian sacking, the sort of the crumpled linen, it isn't that at all. It's sort of thrice folded skin.
Ooh.
It looks sort of half human and half not.
Oh, no.
But it's aflame from underneath and it has no eyes. And it's lunging towards you, not with hands, but with three limbs that seem to be sharp at the end, with two sort of points, almost as if the bones have been sharpened at the end of the arm bones.
Oh my god.
And it sort of staggers towards you, aflame, and in that moment you feel yourself being pulled back by Dr. Carignan, who sort of pulls you back into the kitchen, and this thing is only a few feet away now. If you glance to the window, there is still this Christ-like figure. Beneath you is Peregrine.
I meant to say that on my way back up, I grabbed the closest thing to bolt cutters that I could find, which it sounds like was probably the bone saw.
A bone saw? So as you sort of start to maybe climb the steps out of the cellar with this bone saw in hand, or gripped in your teeth like Rambo,
and the clothes with the bullets in,
and the clothes wrapped with the bullets in them, the other two of you seem trapped in a small kitchen with a flaming figure staggering towards you, sharpened arm bones at hand, and silhouettes at the front and back door. The gap in the floor where Peregrine has gone seems to be at least the most secure temporary
place. It's also the place where we get, there's no exit, right? What I'm doing is, if it's dexterity order in combat, does Pip have an action?
Well, I think Pip is, he's not close enough, if that's fair. Like, Pip's sort of at the bottom of the ladder. He may have been attempting to climb out, but he's not reached the top yet, so. Did someone have Peter's shotgun?
I threw it aside when I went to embrace the scarecrow.
She threw it aside, and that was my cue to go, I don't like this. And that's why I tried to stop her.
Where did you throw it? Now, throw it into the sitting room, or did you throw it into...
Surely to the side.
Yeah, just to the side.
Well, it's there. It's there, then, on the floor.
We're in the kitchen right now, right?
It's not far. It's about a foot or two away from you.
Yeah.
Both.
I will try and scoop that up.
You're a military man, so I'll give you a bonus die.
An 81. 21, thank you for the bonus die. 21.
Excellent. So you managed to scoop up the shotgun, and you're stood there at the top of the sort of hatch, watching this flaming figure come towards you, sort of lighting up the sofa as it comes, and the stacks of books.
Is it a double barrel?
It is, yeah. It's a proper...
So I will fire one barrel into the figure of whoever this is, Billy, as I understand him to be.
Well, that was certainly what Peter seemed to be calling before you caved his head in.
And I'm not sure what Lady Marjorie is doing.
Are you still holding on to me?
No. I've had to let go.
Well, in that case, I think I'm probably still in my bout of madness, so I'm rushing forwards to try and pull the sackcloth off again.
I thought it was me rolling over, getting it, and then standing up and firing. But I think if she's running, I think it's a desperate dive. I kind of imagine Perry's head is just peeping out. Sorry, Pip's head is peeping out as I dive over, and I just fire with the roll. Right, so I'm basically it's a do or die move for me. I'm not in some kind of stood easy way. But I desperately don't want her to try and, but I can't stop her and pick up the gun as well. I have to spend quite a lot of luck here, don't you? And I am indeed going to spend that luck. Okay, so I've failed my shotgun. I'm going to spend 21 luck. Past that shot.
That's the spirit.
Does a shitload of damage though, doesn't it? What is it, 12 gauge?
It does a shitload of damage, right?
Mm-hmm. 4d6, I think, if it's a 12 gauge.
So I am now on... I'm on 21 luck.
Okie dokie. So...
15.
Yeah, so it's almost like the fractal image of the sun you saw earlier, with all the sort of spiralling images coming off it. The flames, as they engulf the face of this figure, and as this roaring sort of death rattle comes towards you, and you see Jarmia to your side, sort of running her arms outstretched towards his head, you somehow manage to raise it, and in the cock of your hand you say, "Hey, deadhead, take a bite of peach," and you hit it.
I wish I'd said that.
And these flaming chunks just explode. And its head comes completely off. And this figure drops to its knees.
Robert!
You are then there. I don't think that's a sanity roll, because this thing was inhuman to you already. But, Pip, you hear this shotgun blast. The other two of you, Jarmir, you've just seen your love have his head blown off. Carrigmuir, you start to hear this bashing on the back door. And an echoing bashing on the front door, and the flames start to lick around the sides of the living room, so you're pretty sure the whole house is ablaze, and the front and back doors are guarded, shall we say.
I yell up the stairs. Okay, so I think my head is probably poked out at the top of the hatch by now. So that I can actually see what's going on. Otherwise, we're going to have a conversation. And I say...
That's fine, yeah.
I say, there's a... I have no idea where it goes, but there's a hatch down here which may provide some shelter or another way out.
I think... if it's the beginning of a new round, as a result of him saying that, if it's all right with you, I leap over to Lady Helen Marjorie Jarmir Potts, and I tuck one arm, and I'm pulling her back towards the entrance, and I say, "I'm sorry. I didn't have any choice," and I've abandoned the stick, but I've got the shotgun with me, and I head back, and I'm there. It's at that point I realise it's a ladder, right?
Well, it's a sort of a very
steep set of stairs, that really steep.
6 foot. It's not, you know, it's low down there. It's 6 foot down.
And I say, "We don't have any choice. We've got to go down, Lady Marjorie. We have to go down together."
But Robert... Where's Robert?
He wasn't Robert anymore. You've got to come with me. I promise you we'll solve this as soon as...
I'm coming, Robert.
As soon as we get to the bay and we see what he has discovered, we'll understand where he's gone. He might still be out there, a part of him, in the fractals. Which isn't even a word I'd know, but I'm going to say it anyway. And I look at Perry... And I give him the gun, and I basically start to hand her over to him in a desperate bid to get her down.
Yeah, yeah.
So you sort of lower her down to me.
So I even give up the gun and sort of turn my back, and I'm totally exposed.
The heat's getting to you, and it's really burning your back as you do this, but you've got enough time, I think, if you're working together. There's still this bashing at the back door, bashing at the front door, and the fire licking around. It's almost close to the kitchen now, but it's not quite. You can smell the smoke. It's getting harder to breathe, but you manage to lower Jarmir down. Do you follow her? Do you?
I think I take one look around me, and I can hear her reciting Beowulf at me. And I recognise some...
His mother, Angelina Jolie.
I think in my mind's eye I can hear those kind of a rendition of that, the burning hand and all this stuff, and I think...
Yeah.
I think this is pure madness, but I have no choice but to head down, and I pull the hatch.
You pull it. And suddenly you're in the darkness, all three of you, at the bottom of the staircase.
The grim and greedy guardian of the flood... Keeping her hungry 100-season watch, discovered at once that one from above, a human, had sounded the home of the monsters. Of the monsters.
You can all feel the heat from upstairs. It's intense. You only have the light of Peregrine's oil lamp. Peregrine, they've joined you.
The hatch is this way.
Where's Robert? He was right here.
I don't think he was, Lady Marjorie. I don't think he was. But maybe this way, there may, perhaps some hope lies this way.
Oh, good, good. Come on then, Robert.
You, she says to a sock that's on it. Dr. Carrigmuir, you hear him talk about the hatch and you see there's one barrel in front of this sort of wooden panel on the wall. You sort of maybe focus on that rather than the hanging salted meats and the things. I mean, it's up to you. But Perry seems to be saying this seems to be a way.
I think I do. I think I follow Pip's suggestion. And as I walk over to it, I cast one last look up. And I think about the opium I've left upstairs burning.
Yeah. Ugh, what a waste.
A cool sweat starts to spread on my brow already, even though I've had a wee talk. And I put my shoulder to the barrel.
You move the barrel, because Pip managed to move too. You move the last barrel, and as you look at the hatch, you see a familiar owl symbol above the lintel of the hatch. And do you put your shoulder to it?
And we all see it, right? We all see the...
Jarmir, I think, may be slightly out of it.
Pip and I see it.
Mm.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, she's nuts.
But you're also aware that it has... its meanings are not clear to you.
But it's the smuggler. I think all I say is, the smuggler's way. And I pull it open.
Yeah, great. Well, you sort of shoulder into it.
Even better.
And it opens into cold air, fresh air from somewhere. It smells like seaweed and things like that, but there's a sort of glistening stone tunnel ahead of you. It heads down quite sharply.
Does it look like it's wide enough for Bajamia to fit through?
It looks like it's just about wide enough.
Okay.
But
that's a relief.
I'd say that if you were being cautious, you might put her between the two of you to sort of give her some ballast.
One to push, one to pull.
Well, exactly. The Chuckle Brothers might do well here.
I say,
Yeah.
After you, Henry.
Aye. Pip.
I bring up the rear. I bring up, literally bring up her rear.
I'll...
Keep up, Robert.
I'll take the shotgun.
We're nearly there.
The small dead rat that Jarmir is befriending.
The owls are the smugglers. It's their way. It's their way, Robert. I told you we'd get you out of here.
They're not what they seem. The owls are not what they seem.
I use my lighter, my flintlock. I think they had them in 1890. Yeah.
Your black powder Zippo. your little flintlock Bic.
Did they have them? Maybe not. Maybe they didn't, a match.
Pip's still got his oil lantern.
Henry's leading the way, but I'll give you my oil lantern.
Excellent. So, Henry, you lead the way with the oil lantern. You can see these slick black stone walls. This is clearly a place that's been passed through a lot. It's smooth stone. Almost like one of those elephant graveyards where the tusks over the years have worn down the stone. And you travel for what seems like hours. It's hard to keep track of the time generally here, but especially in the dark, underneath the ground, under the earth.
The home of the monsters. Oh, Beowulf. Oh. Oh, England.
And eventually you come up against a... It starts to go upwards very slightly, and you sort of trip, and there's a couple of stairs there, and you feel forwards, and there's a sort of join and a wooden feeling hatch or something of the sort.
Every now and then we have to take Lady Marjorie and go, Lady Marjorie, stay with us. Stay with us.
Where am I? Robert?
We're underneath the earth, Robert? Deep beneath the earth. We'll find him.
Lady Marjorie, stay with us. We're nearly out of this godforsaken place.
You heard them, Robert. Stay close.
Robert is close.
Are you trying to...
Lady Marjorie, Robert is close.
You basically shouldering the...
Yeah, I think...
Are you trying to shoulder open the wooden hatch?
I think with the last of my strength I am. And it probably is after a couple of hours of war.
So you do manage to. And between the two of you, you manage to hoist Jarmia out. And you're suddenly flat on the ground. When you look around, you can see the stars above you. And they're lit very orange. You think, oh, the sunset was a while ago, but you realise it's the light of the house burning to the ground above you on the bluff, and you realise you're by the sea. Huh? And what you've come through must be some sort of smuggler's tunnel. You turn and you look, and you can see the sort of shingle of the beach below, only a few feet below.
This is Boggle Hole.
I slap Lady Marjorie around the face. Kish, kish.
Yeah? Robert?
Stay with us, Lady Marjorie.
I give him a stern look and say, you've been wanting to do that for some time, haven't you, Henry?
I blaze at him with my eyes and I say nothing.
And as you do that, you sort of close the hatch, but next to you realise it was covered in like overgrowth and stuff. It looks like it hasn't been used in a while, although it was still usable. And you see a small path to your left. You can basically walk down to the shingle from here, but the blaze of the house above is almost as intense from here. But there's one other light out on the sea, and it seems very close, and it seems to be a sort of a hanging lantern moving closer to the shore. You hear this voice over the waves saying, "Hey up! You need help!"
I think I'm heading down towards Boggle Hall. Or, I should say, I'm heading down towards Boggle Hall.
Well, I'll say it's a matter of feet. You are essentially in Boggle Hall. You've come out of a hatch that seems to be above a sort of slight bluff of the cliff in that harbour.
I start looking at the geology. I start looking for signs. Any aspect of a dig.
Excellent. As you're doing that...
And meanwhile, I say, please, yes... We're in need of help.
Aye, help.
And you hear a voice say, "All right, 2 minutes, we're just coming in." And you see the boat sort of... It's the lantern's coming closer and it's a small fishing boat. It basically touches the shore and you see Jack Reynolds, the sailor you'd met on the first thing who brought your bags up to the guest house, sort of jump out and say, "Fucking hell, have you seen that up there? June and Peter will have a fucking field day with their insurance. Jesus. Well, nothing to do with you, I assume."
"But where are they? Where are they? I don't understand. Where are the fossils? Where are they?"
"I fell out of the window."
"Did you? Oh, I'm sorry about that, love. Here, get in the boat." And he sort of starts, like, getting Jarmia in the boat and sort of helps Peregrine into the boat, and Dr. Carrigmuir is there sort of desperately looking along the cliff edge, and all you see is sediment, shale.
I drop the gun and I'm scrabbling at the earth.
Henry, come on. And I hold out my hand and it's like the end of
I spin
the
round
last crusade.
Yeah.
And he's saying, "I can reach it, I can reach it." And I'm saying, Henry, give me your hand.
"I can, but it must be here. I can find it. Pep."
And then I say,
"Peregrine, it must be here.
Indiana."
"Do you want to do
it?" I think all I do is I look into his eyes. And I see reflected in his eyes the tendrils of green, and a maze-like structure reflected briefly in the last of the fire of my lantern as it's fading, because the oil is guttering and going out.
Oh, it's guttering.
And it creates this weird striation in his eyes where I think I see for a split second a sort of Jacobean tower and green tendrils rising up around it, and I hear the the relentless pulse of the shore. And I realise that it's futile. And I sink to my knees and I give him my hand. And I say, "You're right. You're right."
And I take his hand and I say, I speak the old Latin motto of our old school. The fuck is our school called?
Odchester.
Odchester.
Odchester, please.
I give him the Odchester motto in Latin and I say, "Veni domum, Henry. Veni domum.
Hey.
Come home."
Beautiful. And he takes your hand and steps in to where you are. And Perry, as you step into the boat, you notice it's sort of adorned with a gypsy sort of sigils. It looks slightly more gypsy-esque than most fishing boats. And you notice that the name of the boat is the Sarah Lee 2. Like Richard II, you know, just two eyes after the Sarah Lee.
Yeah.
And you settle yourselves in, and you hear, like, as you're all passing out of consciousness slightly, you hear Jack's voice saying, "Oh, don't worry, we'll get you away from Baytown. Straight to Whitby, don't you worry, we'll get you back towards." And you're drifting in and out, and you go black for a while. And you sort of wake up and you're out at sea. You can see the land still. You see the abbey outlined in stars. And Peregrine, can you do me, and this is the very last moment of our scenario, but could you do me a spot hidden?
That is a hard success. 33
on my hard. Excellent. So you wake up and you can see the abbey outlined on the cliffside and the stars in the sky. There's still a gleam of fire behind you from the guest house burning. And you sort of realise you're at the helm of the boat. You're at the fore, and you sort of wake yourself up and rub your hands on the wood, and you feel a sort of engraving on it. And you realise it's a... it's a Vegvisir, a compass. Although why anyone would put an immovable compass on a boat seems, well, beyond your grasp. But you notice an old symbol, an old Viking compass carved into the wood. Although it seems slightly crude, you feel the urge to ask Jack about it, perhaps. Even as you're so tired and so slipping out of consciousness.
Jack, my good man.
Aye.
Tell me, what's this carving on this, on the bow of the boat here?
Oh, that, I couldn't tell you. I only know it from sight. Me old boat, the Sarah Lee, you might have guessed. It was the one what old Billy Crow, boy who died, commandeered it that night, pissed as a fart, trying to show off to those two young travelling girls, sank in it.
That's right, those two actresses.
And so did they. Aye, tragic. But I tell you what, until he fucking put his hands on it, and I pardon my language, Reverend, 'twas the best boat I've ever had. Built with love, I always said. And I, well, the next one I got, I tried to make it look exactly the same. Same paintings, same carvings, everything. Not sure if I got it right. That was the Sarah Lee. This is the Sarah Lee 2. I bought it off a strange man anyway.
Strange man? How? Strange how?
Oh, this was years back now. Years back. So he came up the coast, said he'd been travelling town to town. Strange fellow. He said he had no need for it anymore. He was going to spend more time in the earth now, not on the sea. No, must have been on the earth, not in the earth. Well, anyway, he said he wouldn't be needing it anymore. Big man, big ruddy cheeks. Hey, he was wearing a very strange hat. Very strange.
Like a
What sort of hat? Not like a helmet.
No, more of a... I don't know, I think he said it was a South American thing. Anyway, his name was Wagner. Sydney Wagner. That's all I know. Anyway, best boat I ever owned. This is but a pale imitation. And as he says that, he sort of goes back to the tiller, and you see the shadow of the abbey sort of fade against the stars, and the glow of the fire behind you extinguished behind the hill, and you feel that you're heading back towards safety.
I think I ought to do a sanity roll for the mention of Sydney Wagner.
Yeah, perhaps. I think Sydney Wagner should do a sanity roll for that, but he's not here, unfortunately.
I have passed my sanity roll.
You must be mistaken. Maybe it's a common name.
Must be a different Sydney Wagner. Or maybe he said something.
There's lots of Sydney Wagners that wear strange hats, aren't there?
That's right. And I just look to see whether Henry and Marjorie are sort of sleeping soundly.
Nodding.
They are.
And they are. And I look out, and
Marjorie definitely is.
Pin my eyes open to be absolutely sure that we are leaving this godforsaken bay behind us.
As far as you can tell, you are. But you do notice curls of fog out to sea.
Yeah, I bet I do.
Almost like beckoning fingers. This was an Apocalypse Players production. The Keeper of Arcane Lore was Dan McLear. Dr. Henry Carrigmuir was played by Joseph Chance. Lady Helen Marjorie Biamia Potts was played by Dom Allen. Reverend Peregrine McCutcheon was played by Dan Wheeler. Robert Thompson was played by the ineffable Joe Tweedale. Finn McAleer provided the fiddle. You can find us at apocalypseplayers.com, and if you enjoyed this scenario, there are plenty more in our back catalogue. Our Patreon is now full to bursting with grotesque extras. Good night for now. The Doctor, the Lady, and the Reverend will return in An Uncommon Burial.